Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking, and thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the statement in the Bible, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, from Matthew 23:9. In this show, we will be discussing the value of sowing to the Spirit and understanding life as the reflection of the divine. Listen as we explore the spiritual origins of the universe and the divine father-mother principle of life. In Science, Man is the Offspring of Spirit by Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures 63:5. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the divine idea of being. Swami, today's title of the show is The Divine Idea of Mother's Day. And Mother's Day was yesterday, of course. So what can you tell us about Mother's Day and how it relates to the divine idea?
I have a quote here by Bicknell Young from a work that he did called Addresses, and it's the body chapter. And he says, "The thing that we need most to perceive is that everything that exists, exists spiritually. If you have a body at all, you have a spiritual body. Everything in this universe has a spiritual idea behind it." And so, Mother's Day, Mother, Father, the Mother-Father principle that we mentioned in the opening, that more and more starting to abide in the spiritual fact of being, as opposed to the actual person, moving from a personal sense of living to a spiritual sense of selfhood.
So as we celebrated Mother's Day, I know a lot of us celebrated with our physical mothers, but when we turn to having a spiritual lifehood, we need to understand that there really is no mother or father. There is really not that relationship in a spiritual world.
And there's no me and there's no you. On a spirit level, everything is one. And that's a tough thing that you can't get your five-sense mind around. And so we talk about living out from divine mind, moving from the rational, the finite, into the absolute, the infinite. But the nice thing is that we don't have to create anything, that it's already here. That all we really want to do is acknowledge this divine omnipresence and then let it express itself through us.
So we have Mother's Day once a year where we celebrate and honor our physical mothers. But I've also been doing a lot of reading and studying about this ceaseless prayer, that this is something that we should be celebrating our Father, Mother, God. Unendingly, we should be doing it 24/7 and not just one day a year.
I agree with that, that you want to keep your human consciousness in constant relation with the divine. The Yoga Sutras recommend that we live in continuous restraint of the thought variations and constant practice of detachment. And really, the only way that you can practice what they're recommending is this communion with the divine, this constant relation with the omnipresence, the omnipotence, the omniscience of this life force, this invisible, intangible presence that doesn't report in our corporeal senses.
I think we had talked about in the past, we had said a quote that it's very difficult for a human to concentrate on God for 5 minutes. So I guess my question to you would be, how would you recommend that we do that?
Yeah, I think that's what we talk about a lot in Kriya Yoga, is what we call the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like. If you are in corporeal identity, if you believe that you are a physical form, that you are a physical body with a mind and perchance a soul, then it would be very difficult for you to have that type of a relationship with this invisible, intangible, spiritual fact of being. But if you can shift your awareness and you can assume spiritual identity, and that you know that you are made in the image and likeness of the divine, which is spiritual, and you like yourself, then it's not a struggle, because then spirit finds you, as opposed to you as a human looking for this invisible, intangible presence.
I remember reading from Joel Goldsmith once where he says that God is there, you just have to knock on the door. Is that kind of like what you're talking about?
Right, that this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence is right here, right now. It's readily available. It has created its universe. It holds it, maintains it. And all we have to do is understand that we are a reflection of it. We have to figure out that if we are in corporeal sense, if we think that we are a physical being, that we're in a false sense of reality. It's valuable to understand that everything that appears corporeally is the reflection of a spiritual truth. Starting to understand this concept of the divine idea. If there is but one divine life, then we start to shift from the me into what is called the mystical I, the I of being. That if there's only one life, there's only one consciousness, then who am I? What is this separate sense of self that I find myself in?
Well, what I'd like to do is break down the verse that we had mentioned in the opening from Matthew 23:9. And again, it is, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven." So I think we all know what it means, call no man your father upon the earth, what we talked about before, you know, our physical mother and physical father. But could you break down, for one is your father, and then also break down for us what it means by which is in heaven?
Yeah, I think because of our socialization and what we call now the old theology, we kind of think that there are two worlds. We think that there is this world and then there is thy kingdom, which scientifically can't prove out. It doesn't work that way. And like we had talked last week, that this world really is just the shadow of thy kingdom. That there really is only one creation. It is the divine creation, and it's held, governed, and controlled by this divine consciousness, divine mind. Now, what we are accepting or what we think is real is just the shadow of that. It is our thought about what is really here. And so if we accept this lifespan, if we accept this mortal creature that I think I am, then we're kind of in the trap. But if we continue to understand that beyond my senses, beyond what is appearing in my consciousness as a human is the truth of being. Nobody's born, nobody dies. That is the illusion of material sense. And the truth of being is found on a spiritual level, the changeless state of being. And there's only one life.
That's what it means when it says, for one is your father.
Yeah, that's how I would interpret that.
Would I be correct in saying that heaven isn't really a place that we go to? Heaven is just, it's a level of consciousness.
Right. And like you say, it's right here, it's right now, but it doesn't report in our five senses. We're learning to develop spiritual sense. We're learning to develop faith, a belief in this truth, because it's a little bit of a stretch, especially coming from a heavy influence of the collective consensus that sense-level living is real. And once you start to rebuke that and you forsake all your human modes of thinking, you have to start to develop a belief in this divine omnipresence, the divine idea that there is the perfection of being. Even though I don't have a way of communicating it on a human level, that if I rise above sense level living and I cultivate spiritual sense, then this becomes a reality. You awaken into this truth of being and you come out of this material dream that we're in. You come out of the cycle of death and rebirth and under the government of the law of karma, the belief in two powers. And now you rise into the one, this unified state of being, which is absolute eternal life.
Well, I'd like to talk about more about the value of sowing to the spirit and understanding life as this reflection of the divine. Tell us what values we would have by sowing to the spirit.
Well, I think the Bible kind of tells us that to sow to the spirit is life, to sow to the flesh is death. That if you want eternal life, then this might be a good thing for you to accept. If you want this life everlasting, you're going to have to start to sow to the spirit, which means you're going to have to reject the testimony of your five senses. You're going to have to leave this world and step into thy kingdom. And in order to do that, you're going to have to develop spiritual sense.
We've been talking in the past shows about reflection of the divine, and wondering if maybe you could break that down for our listeners.
Yeah, that's what this world is. That's what the real man is, the reflection of the divine. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says about reflection, is that it is mind considering its own content, that we're basically just a thought in divine mind, which we now refer to as divine idea, that there's a difference between human thoughts and divine ideas. Primarily, thoughts are about what isn't real. Thoughts are about a divided consciousness, and the divine idea is about the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The reflection can be very helpful for us, because if we didn't have corporeal sense, if we didn't have this compass or barometer to let us know how we were thinking, then there wouldn't be any incentive for us to change.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, next on the agenda from the summary, we were going to explore the spiritual origins of the universe. So I'm wondering if you can start us off with that.
Yeah, I think you can find that in the Bible with Genesis 1, which is the divine creation. God creates the universe and everything is very good. As you continue in the Bible, there's kind of this secondary creation that goes on after that. And I think if we stay with Genesis 1, that you'll start to explore the spiritual origins of the universe like we're suggesting. And the Creator makes both man and woman. Then as you go into Genesis 2 and 3, that's the story of Adam and Eve and the story of the rib and made from the dust of the earth and all of that. But the spiritual origins, I think, is what we really want to try and stay with. This concept of the divine idea that we really want to start with what can be referred to as a living God. That we want to start to get away from the concept of God, the human thought about God. It's kind of like in the beginning, man created God now. And we want to really have something that is reliable, dependable, that we can turn to, a demonstrable principle, and not just something that we believe in and something that we hope that after we transition, that we create the opportunity that we can go to. That the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now, and it's accessible. The more that I think we start to abide in that as the truth of our being, the more we can start to activate it in our experiences.
And so that quote by Mary Baker Eddy, "In science, man is the offspring of spirit," to me kind of answers the question about the divine idea of Mother's Day.
Right, and it also answers Matthew 23:9, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." That we really want to start to see that we have spiritual origins, and that behind everything that exists, exists a spiritual idea.
Well, I see that we have a quote here from Joel Goldsmith, and this might be a good time to talk about that.
Yeah, that's from 2nd Portland, 606B, 1951. God is life, and God is soul. God is the reality of our being. The moment we perceive that, we give up all attempts to demonstrate anything, because in the realization of God as the reality of our being, there is nothing left to demonstrate. And I think that's an important thing that he's trying to let us know. Awareness of spirit activates it in consciousness, which then casts a corresponding shadow. Once we come out of the belief that we are a material being, and we start to identify with ourselves spiritually, and we know that we're the reflection of this indestructible principle, then from there we must know that the divine will is functioning, and maintaining a perfect spiritual universe. And that's regardless of what the corporeal senses perceive.
Well, I'd like to talk more about the corresponding shadow. I know in our notes it says awareness of spirit activates it in consciousness, which casts a corresponding shadow. We must know that the divine will is functioning in maintaining a perfect spiritual universe, regardless of what corporeal sense perceives. So it almost sounds like we have to get past the five senses in order to realize and be aware of the spirit that we're talking about here.
Right. And that's what we work at in our practice of Kriya Yoga now. We're coming out of the modes of mortal thought, and we are starting to know the truth of being. We are starting to let this divine mind take over the government of our body.
Well, you had mentioned the truth of being. For our listeners who might be just tuning in, what do we mean by the truth of being?
Well, the truth of being is the divine creation. That creation is right here, right now, and it's perfect. The divine will is functioning and maintaining a perfect spiritual universe. Now, what we have to do is attune ourselves to that. It's going on, but what we're experiencing is our thought about it. And all of the problems, everything that we're experiencing on this human level is an illusion. And it stems from a belief in two powers, that we've fallen from the belief or the understanding of the one divine life, and we've kind of accepted that we are a separate entity. And from there, as a separate entity, we are looking up to this divine creation, and we're trying to get it to do something for us. And it won't work that way. We can't bring God down to our level. The only way that we can communicate with this divine omnipresence is to rise to its level of consciousness. And in order for us to rise to that level of consciousness, we've got to let go of our material moorings. We have to let go of a belief in matter. And we have to fill our thought with the divine idea. We have to fill our thought with these lofty aspirations that will make our thought buoyant so that we can find that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea. Like I say, when you do that, you are in spiritual identity. You have given up the belief in matter, and now you understand that there is only one life, there is only one divine will, and that spiritual will is creating a perfect universe. And so the way we would experience that is on a human level, it would correct what was appearing as discord, sickness, suffering, lack, limitation.
Well, this might be a good time to talk about our next topic, which is retrospection and introspection by Mary Baker Eddy. I wonder if you can go over that with us.
Yeah, we have a bunch of quotes here from that work to try and correspond with this thing of Mother's Day. And one of the things I always liked is in reading about Mary Baker Eddy is that she affectionately would be called Mother, and she would refer to herself as Mother a lot of times. And so one of the quotes here is, "The human thought does not constitute sin, but vice versa. Sin constitutes the human or physical concept." What she's basically telling us here is that if we believe in matter, we're in sin. That's the sin. We're missing the mark. We really must understand ourselves in the way that we are created by the Creator, which is Spirit. Another quote from Retrospection and Introspection: in the ratio that the testimony of the material personal sense ceases, sin diminishes until the false claim called sin is finally lost for lack of witness. All right, so again, the more attention we have, the more we sow to this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, it will start to reveal itself to us from within. The next quote is, the great difference between these opposites is that human material concept is unreal and the divine concept or idea is spiritually real. Now again, she's really trying to inform us that behind everything that is appearing in our senses is this spiritual fact of being. The next quote that we have is, life and being are of God. In Christian Science, man can do no harm, for scientific thoughts are true thoughts, passing from God to man. This whole thing of the relationship that man is the reflection of the divine is an important principle to start to understand if you're going to start to live out from this truth of being. The last one that we have, its life is found to be not life, but only a transient false sense of an existence which ends in death. If we accept ourselves as a mortal, material, corporeal being, we're in the trap. We are in the cycle of death and rebirth.
So getting back to the divine idea of Mother's Day and the celebration of that, how would you like to see the collective celebration look like?
Well, I think if we live out from the divine idea, first of all, it gives you a lot of room because you're not limited to the testimony of your five senses. You're not limited to your actual parent, because I think a lot of us judge unrighteously. We judge humanly, and we make our judgments based on the testimony of our senses. But as Scripture tells us to judge righteously, or what I really like is the ninth commandment, not to bear false witness against your neighbor. And false witness is the testimony of your five senses, that you really must abide in the truth of your neighbor, that everything has a divine idea. And the divine idea is perfect. And like Mary Baker Eddy was telling us, that in the ratio that the testimony of material personal sense ceases, sin diminishes. And we're exposed more and more to the spiritual fact, which, like we said earlier, casts a corresponding shadow. That rather than trying to attack things on a physical level, if you abide in the truth and you let that truth reveal itself to you from within, you will start to see the changes that we are really looking for.
Well, I think we have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage, you'll see a fading banner. When that pops up with Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that on, and that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then the products tab, if you click that on, under online classes tabs, that will direct you towards Swami's free webinars at Wednesdays at noon, as well as the Sunday 9 a.m. Asana classes. Swami, any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, again, I'd like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in their soul and experience the divine idea of being. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.